Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Thanks for checking out the show here on a Tuesday afternoon. Busy hour coming up in 15 minutes. Do you concur? Derek Stevens, owner, CEO of this great property, coming up at the bottom of the hour. A contest update with him at that time. Are we not going to get a chop in Circa Grandissimo? Our best bets as well. And by the way, happy Veterans Day to everybody out there who served this country. I was doing the math on this earlier today. My mom's in town. My dad was in the Air Force. His two brothers were in the military. His brother Jerry served in Nam. My brother Matt was in the Army. He was over in the Saudi War, Persian Gulf War. My best man at my wedding, Shannon, was in the Air Force, retired after 20 years. My cousin Jeff in the Marines, he was in the... A lot of ties here. So we salute you out there who obviously served in any branch of the military. Tonight, NBA, Pauly, on the docket. Let's begin here. Do you know that this is the third time that Boston and Philadelphia, that they've played each other already?
Well, that's a mistake.
That's, what are we doing with the schedule?
I know. Yep. No Embiid. Big surprise there. Embiid out.
Stunning.
Celtics now the favorite. And hard to get a read on this Celtics team. And we like what we saw early from the Sixers. Now a couple of losses here. But great way to attack these props. Is there so much strong stuff with both of these teams. Maxey, 9-1 overrun with his PRA. And White and Pritchard, 9-2 under with their made threes. It was 9-1. So you got two guys on the same team. They're on a sick under run. Check this out every day with the NBA prop analyzer at VSiN.com. But from a game standpoint, this one's tough without Embiid, but I still trust the Sixers here to get what they want offensively because guys like Maxey and Oubre and Grimes have been so good. And it's just night in, night out. You don't know what you're going to get out of this Celtic team.
Edgecombe, another guy?
That's absolutely right.
Right.
Yes.
So the backcourt is absolutely loaded here with Philadelphia. They'll be fine. Although there was an angle here where Embiid, if he's at, and if he's healthy, I mean, who the hell knows with this guy? Usually he's not going to be. But down low against this Boston team, who do they really have to defend him? Like, he should be able to eat against a team like Boston.
Yep.
Also, on the flip side, it kind of tells me overall how much Jason Tatum really meant to this team for the Celtics. This is supposed to be Derek Wine and Peyton Pritchard, White and Derek Peyton Pritchard's time to actually go out there and make a name for themselves beyond what they did last year or the previous year, right? They were supposed to really step up and take over here with the Celtics, but without Tatum, now their numbers aren't nearly as good as what they were last year. So, obviously, super valuable to this team, and it's going to play out that way on the court for the entire regular season as well. I played Oubre tonight. I'll tell you about this coming up in about 45 minutes in Pocket Plays. But 8-2 over 13.5 points. That's where the number opened up today. It went up after the Embiid news. And then the juice also moved on 1.5 threes from just over even money to about $1.25 today on him. 76ers are 8-1 over in the first half on the season.
Yes. Good numbers. All right. Can you make the case for Memphis here? Or are you too concerned with the Ja Morant drama? And the Knicks are undefeated at home, and they've been good offensively. The last six meetings between these two teams have gone over. Knicks laying 9.5, 10 against the Grizzlies tonight.
Well, and the Knicks are really playing good basketball as we speak. Last couple of years have not been on board with this Memphis team. A lot of numbers really stick out. The Morant thing, put it this way, his points prop is down to 21.5. That bad boy used to always be mid-20s, right? But he's 7-3 under 21.5 points on the year, 8-2 under in general. And then you have your guy. I got some numbers. You have some numbers on him.
Right. Yeah.
Triple J, Jaren Jackson Jr., 9-2 under on the year with his props for the points.
Yep. And the PRA, 10-1 under.
Crazy.
And this was the guy that they paid all that money to and built the organization around him.
That's right.
What they said.
The guy who has stepped up in terms of going over props is Juck Landale, 8-3 over when the number is 9.5. He's actually 9-2 on the year over. But when it's this number, which is at, again, 9.5 tonight, 8-3 on the season.
Yep, and the guy you mentioned earlier, Bridges, 8-1 over his made threes, 8 in a row. 8 straight wins over made threes for Bridges.
Pretty good.
Yep, so, okay. We got a couple good games here at the back end. And you got the Peacock NBC doubleheader, so that means 11 o'clock tip on the East Coast here on a Tuesday night. But the Nuggets are this good, and Joker is doing this, and one of your key acquisitions is doing nothing and struggling, and that is Cam Johnson, who is 8-1 under his points and really struggling to find his shot. 9-0 under. Every game. Points, rebounds, and assists as well. What a disappointment here. But they're still winning games just because they're so talented and they have one of the best players in the world. And what a time to take on Sacramento as well, who just between the injuries and they're so bad defensively, 8 of the last 10 meetings have gone over between these two. And I would think Denver can get whatever they want offensively in this one tonight.
They will.
They will.
Right?
Yeah.
And the total being that high. They're also 9-0 ATS in the first quarter.
Oh.
But they're laying 2.5 here in the first quarter tonight. This could be
I'm
a
okay
spot.
With it. I'm
Are you?
Okay, yeah.
But the Kings, though, like it's Denver, they could be really up for this game. you know, it's not like they're taking on Brooklyn tonight, so they'll be excited to play here.
I don't know. That Minnesota performance was.
I know.
They gave up a buck.
There you go.
They got run out by 30 by the T-Wolves. They got scored 70 second half points on them in that one.
There's your trump card. The Kings are also 9-1 first half to the over. The total's 124.5 in the first half. Good God.
Yeah. Didn't mention this the first time around. The Raptors should put it on the Nets.
Oh, absolutely.
Raptors laying 9.5 on the road, 231.5 the total. This is the worst defense in the league. We've been talking about it many times about how bet the team first half team total over for the opponent, and that's got there a lot. And, again, the money quote, the owner before the season, we are tanking. We need that to be a high draft pick.
You know, there's a team in the NBA that's actually worse, I think, than Brooklyn.
Who is that? No.
The Pelicans.
You think they're worse? Oh,
Because Zion's going to play in 14 games this year.
Third worst defense.
And they are an absolute abomination.
Uh-huh.
And again, I like what you've been talking about. They traded all that draft capital to get McQueen.
Yeah, the...
Derrick Queen, sorry. Yeah.
The pick goes to Atlanta.
Yeah, that,
I know.
Their first pick's going to go to Atlanta.
That would be high comedy.
Can you imagine that?
Wow, we got Washington saying, hold my beer, we're 1-10. Come on now. We know what the problem is with Indiana. They had the injuries and their best players out for the year. They're 1-9. Right. Nets 1-9. Washington 1-10. Pelicans 2-8. And it's, you're right, he's going to get hurt too. But that is a horrible move, what they made. Let me sneak in the pace here as well. Number one in pace, Sacramento, Pacers in Memphis now. With the Hollinger numbers in pace. So Toronto should score a ton of points and also be a track meet against the Nets coming up in this one. Okay, you asked me earlier. So you're telling me you want to make the case for Golden State? Or are you just going to pass because OKC's too good?
No, Oklahoma City's too good for me. I can't. I don't want the 7.5. Horford's going to be out, but they're going to have everybody back tonight other than him, the way it looks. The only way I think I could get involved, I think, with Golden State would be if I took them early in the game, like a first quarter or a first half bet. Because the run is coming at some point for Oklahoma City. A lot of times it's going to be in the third quarter or in the second half where they just say, all right, that's enough. It's a 4-point game. Here come the afterburners, and you're not going to stay with us. And they blow the team out of the water, and that's when they take care of business. But they're better than last year, and I can't wait to see what they look like when they have their full allotment of players and they're all going to be back and healthy playing at the same exact time. That NBA Cup number, by the way, is down to like +180.
Yeah.
To win the cup.
I wish they would put up the 70 win stuff and everything, but I haven't seen that yet.
That was +430 last week.
Okay.
At FanDuel.
Okay.
They had that.
I thought DK would have that up, but still they just have most regular season wins and longest win streak.
Yeah, and by the way, when we were really tooting their horn last week, the day we did that, they were playing a back to back against Portland. And as we said the day after that game, like losing it's not a big deal. They were only a 4-point favorite. They were without four of their best players, or four key guys anyway. They're going to lose games eventually.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I was more impressed by that team, again, considering who was all out of that game. Dort was out, Caruso was out, Chet Holmgren was out, I believe. There was another guy out of the game. They were blowing on a back-to-back. They were up by like 20 before you could blink on Portland.
Yep.
That was so impressive to me that losing it doesn't even matter. It's just like they're so deep, and when they want to turn it on, it's going to be scary, man.
I'm with you. The other one today, the big news, this still shows that the fan matters and the fan has a big voice. and the Mavericks fired their GM, Nico Harrison. Last night, fourth quarter, tight game. The Mavs are at the line shooting a free throws, and the crowd is chanting, "Fire Nico, fire Nico." And they just said, "This is a horrible situation. It's become a home court disadvantage." And the players were wondering aloud, do these guys even, fans even show up wanting us to win? And I think the answer was no. And then ownership said, we have to, and he also did it to himself, because when he made this trade, you're trading a top five player, 25 years old, he's just gone to the NBA finals. You said, we have a 3 to 4 year window now to win the title. It doesn't make any sense. And you bring in Anthony Davis, who out of a possible 44 games has played 14.
No, this is a situation where the fans absolutely got the GM fired.
Yes, they did.
Yep.
Yep. And for him to say, I didn't realize he was this popular, and then a bizarre comment from the owner to say he didn't do a good job of filling me in how things worked in the NBA and how this about, you know, it's just incredible stuff here in a soap opera. But it's just like, we are so disgusted that you traded a fan favorite and we've had so much success that we're just going to make this miserable when we're showing up and with the signs and the chants in every single game, that they said, okay, it is a home court disadvantage. We have to do it and have to get rid of this guy.
Do you think Luka is ever dealt if Mark Cuban doesn't sell the team?
No way. Absolutely not.
I would say it's almost 100% that he would not have gotten traded. Never say never. I'm basically saying never. All right, let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll tell you which guy is now 2-1 to become the next head coach after opening at 75-1. It's really happening. Do you concur? Next.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN. Moments in history have begun with a question.
To be or not to be, that is the question.
What came first, the chicken or the egg?
Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
And what kind of hair product does Mitch Moss use? But Follow the Money wants to know.
Do you concur?
Concur with
what, sir?
Do you concur?
All right, my friend. At one offshore book, Nick Saban has gone from 75-1 to 2-1 to be the next coach at LSU. This is happening. Do you concur?
I think it might be. Why the big move? They're probably not taking big bets on this whatsoever, unless they have a VIP player who knew something, right?
Yes.
Or did they actually hear something on their own and they just said, okay, we're not going to take bets, but we know that this actually could take place. And so 75-1 was insane. We got to move that right now so nobody wants any action here.
He just said how happy he was at College Game Day, how much fun he's having, and that. Oh, man.
See, like putting yourself in his shoes, why would he want to come back and deal with the mess that college football has turned into?
Well, according to him, right. But that's, why you got out, but you still, it hasn't gone away. It's still a bigger issue. It'd be great for college football and also the
SEC. I'd love it for him to come back.
Yes.
No,
but that's a huge move.
Yeah, I could argue that would be the spot. He could find better spots, actually, to take over. I would love to see him go to Texas, for example. I would love to see him go to USC.
Oh, that'd be great.
Right? Just one of these other big gigs, not named an SEC team, he'd go there and it'd be like, oh, boy. Because he'll turn any team into an 11-win monster within 1 year.
Uh-huh.
It's going to happen.
Yeah. And I'm not so sure Nick's... I don't think... Like, Kiffin should just stay put. And if someone's going to be crazy enough to offer him an NFL gig, okay. But what are the expectations at Ole Miss? Try to go 9-3 every year and see if, like this year, you can sneak in the playoff.
Well, here you go.
They'll have a parade for you.
He's now a $3 favorite to become the Florida next head coach.
Oh, man.
To your point. His Ole Miss record here, not good enough at Florida.
No, you're expected to compete for national titles at Florida.
Yeah, sure. You're 9-3 at Florida, missing the playoff. That's not good enough, pal.
Yeah. I'll put these two together. In light of what we played yesterday with Sal Pal, who knows numerous voters, and they will not vote for a running back, and also trying to handicap the voter, Drake May and Jonathan Taylor cannot win the MVP. Do you concur?
Well, I concur on JT. I'm not going to concur on Drake May. Back to our point, what if the Patriots win 14 games?
Mm-hmm.
And he leads the league in passing yards, completion percentage, and he has 35 touchdowns. Like, there's a path where he can win the award. Jonathan Taylor, when he said that they will not vote for running backs, that tells me that Like, it's more than Sal Pal is aware of that then. Other people know this, you know, but like, I would not touch JT at 6-1 right now in terms of a bet to win the award. No way.
That was incredible audio. That's nuts. That Sal Pal knows numerous guys, and they just completely, oh, I'm not voting for a running back. No way, no how. You know, that'd also be something if the Chiefs run the table. Because I still think some voters would be like, is this guy a top five quarterback? The schedule was a joke. The win total was 11. Excuse me, they were favored in 11 games. I'll give Vrabel Coach of the Year. I won't give May MVP.
I don't think voters look at it like that.
You don't?
No, I think they'll look at quarterback rating, EPA per play, yards per attempt, that whole thing.
Okay. When it's all said and done now, that he didn't shop him, that he lost his job, that after trading a 25-year-old superstar, he said, we have now a 3-4 year window to win a championship. The Luka trade was the worst trade in NBA history. Do you concur?
I want to let it play out for a minute, but on the surface, absolutely. It probably will not be touched. I will point out another trade that, to me, it hurt personally, but back in 1998, and everybody thought the Bucks won this trade, they drafted Dirk Nowitzki, number 9 overall, in that draft.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, the Mavericks took Robert Tractor Trailer with the number 6 pick.
Oh.
So the Mavs traded Trailer to the Bucks for Nowitzki and Pat Garrity, who the Bucks took at number 19. The Mavs then turned around and traded Garrity to Phoenix for Steve Nash. So that was the catalyst, and Dirk Nowitzki turned into, what, a top 25 player in the history of the sport? Won that title.
Uh-huh.
That to me was all time bad. Luka will eventually surpass that one, yes, when it's all said and done. He wouldn't shop him.
Yeah.
He's been mocked ever since. He lost his job already.
Didn't tell ownership, yes.
Other than the owner. That was it. Nobody else knew.
Every time he did a press conference, he just made it worse. I didn't know how popular he was. I had an idea. Now we're going to compete for a champ. We got a 3-4 year window. The guy you bring in is Anthony Davis, who's always hurt. He just made the finals. What are you doing?
He had a 20-year run at Nike, and evidently he knew everybody like in NBA circles or basketball circles. I think it's pretty safe to say that Nico Harrison should never touch another gig within that league.
No. Yeah.
How does he?
Yeah. I agree with the tweets. They're funny, but the Lakers should actually put a statue up of him. What, they were handed the ultimate gift.
Yeah.
They got this guy for the next 10 years.
How many people in the NBA make that trade?
Oh, he's the only one.
He's the only one who comes up with the idea. Again, his idea.
Yeah, to keep it a secret.
Right, don't tell anybody.
Right.
But I also pinpoint this on the owner as well, because
he
did
know. He had to sign off on it.
He did.
Yep. Absolutely.
And he was okay with it.
All right.
Brian Daboll will make one hell of an OC next year with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Do you concur?
Ooh. You really like this guy.
Oh,
yeah. I don't know. I thought he had to go and this was the right thing, but that's... I have to ask a question. Who's the quarterback?
Well, why don't you throw the guy that you mentioned during the break?
This is 11-1 at last check. Kyler Murray? Brian Daboll and Kyler Murray in Pittsburgh. I don't mind it. Yes. Concur.
If Brian Daboll is willing to become the next OC there, Mike Tomlin should right now fire Arthur Smith.
Uh-huh.
That guy stinks.
I agree with that.
He's been in the league long enough. It's not working. But Aaron Rodgers can also no longer play. We saw that on Sunday night. It's happening in real time. It's over with.
Yeah.
It sucks to say it. I hate it when
short.
It... Right, exactly right.
I know.
And I don't like Kyler Murray, but how many other options are they going to have?
How about here?
Well,
isn't that quite the fit?
That would be a typical Las Vegas Raiders move.
Yes, it would.
If they brought in Kyler Murray.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to do Kyler Murray here with Brian Daboll?
Well, I think they'd be ecstatic to have Daboll here.
I think so, too.
Yes.
I think they'd be thrilled beyond belief with that.
I don't know how many... Yeah, I don't know. Those are two that stick out as with the odds, though. With the Raiders and the Steelers, I think, with potential landing spots for Murray.
Like, what's the long-term plan here for the Steelers, though, at that position? A winning solution to be the guy.
Well, it's the same thing with the Raiders. The Pistons, at 6-1, to win their division at Station Casinos here in Las Vegas, you have to bet that and be okay with it, even if it loses. Do you concur?
Well, I hope you were able to grab some of it earlier today. 6-1 on the Pistons.
I got plus 450.
Yeah. Well, that's still a good number.
Yeah.
Right now, they're currently at almost every other book, 3-1, plus 350. I say yes. And I think this team, I mean, by not waving the white flag last night, they were dead and buried the entire time. Cade Cunningham missed 31 shots and they won the game. Most shots missed in an NBA game since, what was it, the 60s?
1967.
Before Woodstock.
Rick Barry shot 50 times. What's he doing?
I think there's an angle here where the Cavaliers could kind of punt on the regular season, as we brought up earlier this hour. Like tomorrow, for example. We already know there's no Garland, Mitchell, and there's no Evan Mobley.
Yeah.
And then they basically have to get by the Bucks and the Bulls.
Yeah. Good job. Let's do your concur. Good text from our friend and colleague about this really hurts LaFleur. They gave up two number ones to get Parsons. You think you're this close to a Super Bowl and you're all in when you do that. If you miss the playoffs, hell, even the seventh seed, that's not good enough. This guy might be in trouble.
Well, if he's answering questions from that soft media market already halfway through the year, I would think that he might be in trouble.
Uh-huh.
And I'll give you another one. What if Rodgers ever had this defense?
Oh, no kidding. Yeah.
With the collection of guys that they have on offense?
And then he leaves and start drafting wide receivers. It's another one, too. Yeah, but...
Like, if Rodgers was 30 years old right now playing in Green Bay, this would be the best team in football. Nobody would even be close to them.
Mm-hmm.
He never had a defense like this. And how often did he have this many weapons? Devontae Adams was awesome. I'm talking about this many weapons overall. And Josh Jacobs at running back? Are you kidding me?
Two number ones for Parsons. You take a wide receiver in the first round. You have a good running back. You gave your quarterback all this money. You have a great tight end. I know he got hurt. But still, you can't score, and you might miss the playoffs. Or a seventh seed. That's in play.
Yep.
I mean, you're exactly right. You can't look at the schedule and say, okay, they'll be all right, when you lose to Carolina and the Browns.
I can't get over the fourth and short play last night, rushing to the line to make the play, and everybody on the Eagles' defense is calling out what's coming.
Jacob said it. Did like 5-6 guys yelled it out.
Derek Stevens on the program next. Owner, CEO of Circa Las Vegas. We'll get a contest update and ask if the $100,000 Grandissimo entry contest is looking at a six-way chop. Welcome back. Time now for our weekly visit with the owner and the CEO of Circa Las Vegas. Derek Stevens joins the desk here in studio. Good to see you again today. How are you?
Good. How you doing, fellas?
Doing really
good,
well.
Sir.
Getting good now in these Survivor contests, huh?
Sure is. We got a little extra to root for here. We got something you got cooking, and we got Circa Grandissimo is getting to that point where any week now.
So what are you hearing about that contest? We are down to 6 entries left, playing for $6.9 million. Talks, anything through the grapevine with a potential chop here?
I don't know about that. I think some of these teams, I'm pretty sure I know one of the 6 is an individual. I'm pretty sure another one of the 6 has a big consortium.
Mm.
The one with the big consortium just applied for $1 million credit line. So I'm thinking hedging's in order. So it makes me think, why would they want to chop if they've got a big group in there? And I think they're in an advantage situation. I kind of like, with Circa Grandissimo, let's just say New England's the kind of the clear-cut biggest point spread favorite out there. I realize it's a Thursday night, but 4 out of the 6 have New England.
Yes.
Not everybody. 4 out of the 6.
Right.
I tend to believe the way Circa Grandissimo is going that you might have 4 out of the 6 take them on Thursday. And then we'll see what happens here.
This is what you talk about every Saturday with Jeff Benson. Dream team could have won this. Denver should have lost that game and the Bears should have lost. And if that happens, dream team wins the damn thing. It's over.
Yeah, that would have been
Seattle.
That would have been something.
I mean, right there. And it's also going back to what you said, like with Mike Buckmiller, previous winners talked about. You have to be ready to win. You got to have everything mapped out and ready to go because New England, what if they blow this?
Yeah.
And you're sitting back and these other two guys, it's right in your lap then.
Yeah. So my public service announcement today is for Circuit Grandissimo, if you want to hedge, we'll take the bet, whether it's Kentucky or, you know, Colorado or, you know, any of the five states we're in. But you gotta set up the credit line in advance. For Circus Survivor, we have exactly 1,000 entries left, 808 people with 1,000 entries total. So that's not going to end, you know, anytime this month. But I would say the same thing. Don't ask for credit on the same night you're sending me a text for a Thanksgiving Day dinner reservation.
Yeah, right.
We got to plan a little bit here. You know, and I do think Thanksgiving with availability is going to be really interesting. So you got to be prepared. Everybody did all this work well in advance in July and August. Get here, all the strategy. You've made it this far. You have got a lot to be. You've got a lot to be proud of.
Sure you do.
Just be ready though.
And think about this for a second. If you are one of the 1,000 entries remaining in that contest, that means that 17,700 plus have already gotten whacked. And we are only halfway through this contest now because of the two holiday weeks.
Yeah.
So odds are, you said 808 people are accounting for all 1,000 entries. It means a lot of people are down to one.
Oh, certainly. Yeah, majority of people are down to one.
Absolutely.
That's right.
What'd you think of the guy shoving all 10 on the Bears?
Well, he other than 1 week this year, I believe he shoved every single week other than one.
Wow.
Yeah, boy, what a sweat he.
No kidding. He had no business winning.
He's
that.
playing with.
Yes.
He's lucky to be alive, but he's in a good position now.
Huh? What if I use New England? What would you do this week, considering now that the Burrow thing could put a wrench into Thanksgiving night? Who would you use?
Well, if you use New England this week, and you're in Circa Grandissimo, I'd be prepared to start hedging. I'd be betting on the other two. The other selections are going to come out on Sunday because I think you've got a reason to do it.
Who would you use in Circa Survivor?
If I
already use New England.
If you already use New England, well, yeah, you could take a look at Baltimore, but yeah, you're giving up some future value there. You're probably going to be looking at Houston's going to be the number one selection.
73% have them.
Yeah. I mean, you've got 731 Circus Survivors have Houston available. So I think that one's going to be probably the most popular selection. That New England will be the two.
Yeah, I think they're going to be more popular than the Patriots, don't you? Because the Patriots, 550 entries still have New England, and you have other spots where you can use the Patriots this year because their schedule is the easiest in the entire league moving forward. I don't know how many times you're going to use Houston.
Yeah, you got week 13 against the Giants for the Patriots. You've got week 17 against the Jets, and the Jets may be imploding by that point in time. So Patriots have a little extra value. As far as Houston, I guess they've got one spot, week 16 against the Raiders, right? That's about it.
Yeah.
Could be a good spot, but yeah.
How about a millions update? Kanish is human. He went 3-2.
He went 3-2. Yeah. So what's he at now? 38-12. Put him at 76% on the year.
He's only got a one-game lead.
Oh,
that's the other story.
You have a 3-2, and then all of a sudden, watch out.
Look at that.
Guys can catch you.
Coin opposite at 37-13 and the min, 36-14. Yeah, it's tight. It's tight the whole way. The best record on the whole board, though, is at the back end. Guns Buttman is 11-39. 78% picking losers.
Man, incredible.
That's what amazing. A job.
Hats off to you, my friend. I'll give you another one, too. You've mentioned him before. Money Gun Guns is top 10, and I think he's bottom 10. And he got a piece of the booby and a payout on the last one.
I got to pull out my big sheet here.
I think he's tied for ninth, and then he was at the bottom for the booby and actually cast the booby when you handed out the checks and so many people won and got the share. So that is how you play it. We're going opposite and how well he's doing this. That'd be impressive if he can pull this off.
I don't know. Money Gun Guns, they reach out to me today on X.
Oh, really?
Just to say, you know, we were chit-chatting a little bit here. Not a DM. It's up there. So I don't know many of these people, but you were talking about Potato Commish is worth a follow on X.
Yeah.
Right? Sharing a bunch of stuff. And eventually, yeah, I'm sure that a lot of these people are going to be coming here and you will meet most of them.
Yeah, we hope to. Actually, yeah, I'll throw this out there. We had a meeting earlier today with the producers of the documentary, and we talked about it. That's how I knew off the top of my head. There was 808 people in Circus Survivor out of the 1,000 entries. If anybody's interested in being on, you made it this far, you got a spot in the documentary if you want it. You don't even have to be here. They'll do an interview on Teams or Zoom or something like that if you want.
Okay.
Now, a lot of people don't want to.
Sure.
I get that as well, but some do. And if you do, the producers are looking for some characters. So we love to have, I mean, you make it this far. Everybody wants to know, what was your strategy? What was your biggest sweat? Those are the things everybody wants to hear.
How many heart attack games have you survived so far?
Yeah.
If people want to be a part of it, how do they reach out? Is there somebody to contact?
Yeah, just reach out on X to Jeff Benson, to myself, to any of us. We'll get you in touch with the crew.
Very cool. How big do you think Grandissimo can get next year?
That's a great question.
Can it touch 100 in year two?
I don't know. I mean, if we got to 20, I was ecstatic.
Yeah.
I thought it was, what it did is it creates this extra element of strategy right now. It's created this unbelievable element of strategy over the course of the last 4 or 5 weeks.
Yep.
They're definitely a lot more of a thought of just survive the week, just survive, because the money's so much higher. You know, it's a different mindset when you're really looking to go 20-0. This is pretty interesting to see the dream team. You know what Gamble Balls is doing. He's been a friend over here a lot. All these guys, really amazing. I don't know, 100? You think so?
No, I'm saying I think that would be an unbelievable number.
The one thing I found out, though, for sure, there is a lot of people that love a high-end contest.
Yep. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
I was shocked by this.
I don't think you'd underestimate that part of it.
Yeah, could be something.
Well, also, what we talked about, too, was the ego thing. And apparently, I don't think, even if we get down to three people, too, I don't know if a chop's going to happen, based on if it's that certain person who is just saying, I'm not gonna do it, no way, no how.
I mean, you think about the World Series of Poker. It was a lot easier to get a bracelet and win the full World Series of Poker back 30 years ago than it would be today with the number of entrants.
No kidding.
I mean, you may want to get into this thing soon, because that's a feather in your cap for the rest of your life.
Right. And as you said to start the segment here, if people are looking to hedge, again, get in touch with Derek, Jeff Benson. Doesn't matter. Las Vegas, could be Kentucky, but Illinois, Colorado.
Yeah.
You guys will take. And you're going to offer ties on these games as well, because.
Yep. All ties will be offered every game from here on out. We've had too much customer demand for that.
Thanks, Derek. Have a good week.
Thank you.
In Pocket Plays, our best bets for tonight coming up here on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it, take it, take it.
I'll bet you 20 bucks I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1. You're on.
An update on an incredible beat and a wild ending that just happened in college hoops in a second. To the plays, Chiefs money line, Andy Reid 13-1 off the bye with the Chiefs. Laying it on the road against Denver. Common theme here, Denver and the Bears, the luck runs out. Notre Dame, Pitt over, 54.5. Great way to start the day on Saturday. This continues to go up. This opened 20 here at Circa. It's up, there's 25s now. Oregon, Friday night at home against Minnesota. I don't like the spot for Oregon and the injuries, but people disagree. Rams, money line against Seattle. Historic run by Stafford. 3 straight games, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. See if they roll on against Seattle. I'm bucking an 11-1 trend with McDonald on the road. UCF plus 24 against Texas Tech. Don't like the spot for the Red Raiders. They have the bye coming up and up the huge win against BYU. Florida catching 15.5 against Ole Miss. Lagway will get the start for the Gators, and we'll see if Kiffin can get it done, win, and they'll be in. I think they could they survive a loss in the Egg Bowl then, you think? 10-2, good enough?
Yes.
I would think. Okay. So win this and you're in. Vikings money line against the Bears. Broncos to get the 1 seed, 5-1. What a race that's going to be. Especially if the Chiefs win Sunday. And the Pistons to win the division, plus 450. Good come from behind win yesterday. And the Cavs lost a thriller and an unbelievable finish in Miami. It appears they're sitting guys going through the motions, not locked in like last year. They had the great record. And Mitch got 6-1. Good luck, everyone.
All right, nice night with the props last night.
Oh, Sam. He took 16-3, Sam.
I thought we were dead with that bet. He started 0-5.
Okay.
0-5. Like, he couldn't hit anything, right? The volume was there, couldn't hit anything. Came back on the second half. That was, as we figured, a wildly high-scoring game. Flew over the total before overtime. He ended up 4 of 16 from downtown. I'll take it. It's a winner. A.J. Green did it again, over 2.5, plus 148 yesterday. So that was a good one for the Bucks, and also had the Eagles money line last night, plus 116 against the Packers. Bet that middle of the week last week. That's a winner. Pistons to win the division, 6-1. Yeah, got that today at Station Casinos. Put that on the vsin.com picks page. They have changed it now to like plus 320. If you can find plus 450 still, or 4-1 or better, I think that's a great number. And then I do have this is a half a unit bet tonight on a same game parlay. I have Oubre 12 plus points and 2 plus threes minus 116.
Just fantastic stuff in the association with some of these.
Yeah, he's been awesome going over his points prop and 3-point prop. I was going to bet both of them today. Missed it. The Embiid news came out. And so that's the way I'm going to approach it tonight.
Cam Johnson, 8-1 under points, 9-0 under PRA. Jackson 10-1 under, Maxey 9-1 over, Pritchard and White 9-2 under threes, Bridges 8-1 over. Check it out every day, VSiN.com. And VSiN Pro subscribers have exclusive access to the new AI player prop projections powered by OptAI, the trusted data source behind elite soccer analytics in the UK. Data-driven projections for quarterbacks, wide receivers, and running backs. Exclusive NBA player prop projections compared directly to DraftKings lines help you find value. Access it all with a VSiN Pro subscription. VSiN.com/subscribe. Get it now. You'll love it. VSiN.com/subscribe. And a great job by the guru, John Hansen, who did it again last night in the Monday night game. And big on Smith. The AI projections were on Smith as well. So good job from the guru. Dobbs, one catch? Is that right?
Yeah, he didn't do anything in the game. They're lost, man, offensively.
Yeah, well said.
They really are. So I also have pending Garrett Crochet to win the Cy Young, which is tomorrow night. They're going to announce him.
That's right.
At 12-1. Kelce on their app.
This is good. Okay.
You can go bet right now what you think is going to happen for the Cy Young tomorrow night and also the MVP.
Did you see what happened yesterday?
Oh.
All the Drake Baldwin stuff?
No, I did not.
There's a ton of action on Drake Baldwin.
Late?
Yeah, so it was like you knew it was going to happen. Condolences to those who had Cade Horton, 150-1. I thought he should have won it. That one was tough.
There was a voter who left Horton out of the top five.
Of course.
That'll do it to you.
Oh.
Earlier this morning on Kelce, Aaron Judge, 97% to win the American League MVP. 97%.
Oh, no.
Skubal, 97% to win the Cy Young.
School's out.
So they know.
Oh,
they
no.
They know what's going to happen.
Are you kidding?
Judge is going to beat Raleigh. It's going to be a landslide, probably, which is just despicable.
Oh, my God.
And the other one is going to be, look, I mean, Crochet had better numbers in a lot of key categories than Skubal. He's not going to win. Skubal's going to win. But that one doesn't hurt as much as Raleigh.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
That is a tough loss to absorb.
Mm-hmm.
That's not right. So I can't recall... I could be wrong. You can tweet at us or email ftm@vsin.com. A game where there was so much confusion to the ending. It was Air Force and Long Island. It was 70-55 with 2 minutes left in the game. And then It was 75-65 with 24 seconds left. And Air Force ended the game on a 7-1 run with a tip into cover with 4 seconds left. But our producer, Luke, is telling us it said 0-0-0, but it wouldn't go final. And then after 10 minutes on ESPN.com, it put up, oh, yeah, count it, tip in, 76-72 final.
Right. And so Air Force plus 4.5 is a winning bet because he bet it, and they cashed the ticket already. Other people on X are saying, what the hell's going on? Please explain this to me.
Uh-huh.
They saw scores of 76-72, 76-71, and 76-70.
How can that be?
Where was the confusion? Did they hit a pair of free throws and they forgot to put them on the scoreboard? Did they go to the official scorekeeper? Because you're supposed to go by the official scorekeeper than the scoreboard.
Yeah, there could have been a scoreboard bug error or something like that. I've seen that, yeah. But that's like this guy said on Twitter, the school's Twitter even had it 76-70.
Even on the school's Twitter account.
The school's Twitter account had that.
So they were confused then.
Yes.
Or maybe there was no confusion and there was a correction after the game was over with. Wild. Imagine if you had LIU. And people bet this stuff. I mean, Luke had Air Force.
Yeah.
We were told that from a buddy of ours years ago who said there was a rainout in a baseball game and the White Sox were terrible and the White Sox were playing. And they're like, yeah, nobody's betting this stuff anyway. Come on. And he's like, you have no clue. There might be more action on a Wednesday day game featuring the White Sox and a really bad team in baseball than the Yankees game that night. You don't know.
Yeah. And there's someone also showing the screenshot of a box score where it doesn't even show Air Force scoring. It says somehow they get 2 points out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Make it make sense. The play-by-play doesn't show the tip-in. What is going on? In any event, horrific all the way around because you're down 10 with 30 seconds. And they somehow get, missed free throw, steal, lay it in, bad pass, turnover, free throw. Oh, my, the madness.
Yep. I got, so we're getting, my app right now, Kelce app, has Judge at 97%. Fairway Fred just said that he's 70%. I don't see that. Scooble's been bumped up to 99% now to win.
Oh, no.
And by the way, Max Fried's at 1%. I don't even see Crochet listed.
Is that right? This is all time. To be a catcher with
60 home runs?
With a great rotation? Yeah. 60 bombs? He's got every record. Switch hitting.
Sure.
He passed Mantle, Griffey, all these names he passed along the way. Yep. No, sorry.
And Judge was awesome this year. I get it. And a lot of people will come back and say the advanced numbers, you can't deny that. He's better than Raleigh. I would simply say to everybody who is based in New York or has, they're from that area, they're a Yankees fan, whatever. If you flipped it and put Aaron Judge in Seattle and Cal Raleigh playing catcher as a member of the Pinstripes, who would you say would win the MVP? Who do you think should win? And 100% of you are lying if you would tell me Aaron Judge would deserve to win in Seattle. You're a liar. You would say the catcher playing in New York, nobody's ever done that play in that position. By the way, he was elite defensively. Every single one of you would tell me that Cal Raleigh would deserve the award. You would. And that part stinks.
That's why these are so hard to cash. The 100-1 on Dumper, 150-1 on Cade Horton.
Yep.
I mean, you're supposed to win these.
And
based on what with the voting right now, I mean, that's who I would have voted for. And that's just, I thought the Horton was ridiculous.
Sure. You might have.
He was awesome for the Cubs.
Well, he was the number one guy.
Look at his numbers. Yeah, his numbers were great.
You might have 300-1 on Jonathan Taylor to win the MVP. He might score 30 touchdowns.
That's another one.
And deserve it all day long.
Yeah.
And voters might say, nah, don't care. Got to be a quarterback.
That's right. And that's the numeral. According to Sal, pal, there's a lot of them.
Right. All right, stay tuned. VSiN Primetime. Murray Humans next for 4 hours. Into Cashing Out with Dustin Sweetelson. Wake up tomorrow early, 7 a.m. Eastern. Jensen Lewis and Dave Ross. Good luck with the bets tonight.